Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me, don't put your blame on me. Some people got the real problems, some people out of love, some people think I can solve them. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put the blame on me. Oh, some people got the real problems, some people out of love. I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me, don't put your blame on me.
Hello, good evening everybody, and welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Lee Wildub, Weaver of Dreams, Poetic Picasso, and Gray Eye Smith. We will be highlighting front page picks from the Late Night Poets group, and we also will be doing open poetry. And I want to tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are the Late Night Poets group. These radio shows are provided by the poetry that all the poets from around the world donated in beautiful books that you can find on Amazon. And just like the name of our group, Late Night Poets, there are Late Night Poet anthologies and other books that showcase each show that is run each week. And they make great Christmas gifts, and they make great, you know, writer's gifts, because these poems are just exceptional. So we're going to go ahead and start doing our show. And Gray Eyes, if you could unmute everybody for us, please.
Okay.
And welcome to the show, Gray Eyes.
Thank you. Hallelujah. And first we have Katie McDonald, a.k.a. Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver.
Hello,
hey, Weaver.
Hi, babe. Hi, Gray.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Gray, do you know if there's another phone number for Miriam to call because she's not able to get through.
No, that's it. As far as I know, the 73. Hold on. Yeah, there is. 1 second here. Oh, no. Hold on. Yep.
Okay.
So I'll put it in the group.
Okay.
I will put that in the group for her.
Okay.
All right. And posting it now. Okay, here we go. Hopefully that'll help Miriam.
Yeah, I don't know if she can even hear us. Thank you, Gray, for putting that. And I want to welcome you to the show. And I have my two right-hand people with me, so I'm so excited. And, you know, y'all know that I've been dealing with the flu. And so if I start coughing, just keep on going. And I want to thank everybody that's hanging out in the group. We got Francisco del Mar. So he'll be putting comments in the group, and we'll be reading those. And hopefully Miriam will be able to get in, Gray. So,
we have
Katie?
Another caller as well. Area
okay.
code 707. Hello, area code 707.
Is this Miriam?
Irish Rose. This is Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. Hi, sweetie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm happy, glad the weather's getting cooler.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was a bad summer. Yeah.
Really?
Welcome, sweetheart.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Gray, Miriam might be trying to call in, so if you would just check that out. And we are ready to start, Miss Katie from Scotland. We're ready to go.
Your accent is absolutely wonderful. I love it. Okay. Okay, we've got All Grossed Up by Gary Rubin. Gray, are you able to read this for us, please? Are you busy?
No, I can. This is
Thank
All
you.
Grossed Up by Gary Rubin. The difference between broccoli and boogers. Kids will eat boogers. The childhood holds no monopoly on grotesque. Communal office worker refrigerators. Toxic blue jean algae blooms. Float in last month's macaroni salad. Somehow the kitchen trash can is 50s housewife spotless. The thought of publicly shared steam baths now gags me like a chunky Ipecac smoothie.
Yeah.
So let's go to lunch. How about a Chinese food buffet with no sneeze guards? Occasional slob lick spare rib sauce off their fingertips. Ready for spa treatment, luxury vacation? Pick out the hotel. Paul Giamatti has bare-ass sex on the bedspread. Billions of DNA deposited since its last wash in 1972. Ugh. Might watch the movie Cheap from the St. Panther. Fecal matter is Jackson Pollock splattered with each flush. Fortunately, the shower mist keeps the hills alive with the sound of mucus. I was happier last close out, bobbing for apples. We knew where the other kids' mouths had been, end poem. And he says in his office notes, we tend to believe we are cleaner than we actually are. Paul Giamatti is an American actor. He currently stars in the Showtime original series, Billions. His character is a powerful guy that has weird sexual fetishes. And
you know, I don't know who this guy is, and after reading this, I'm just like, don't want to know who he is. I'm not interested, because if this is the stuff that is going on, which we know it's true, there has been scientists that have gone into hotel rooms to look at the most filthiest places in the motel rooms. When I go in a motel room, I spray. I have my handy dandy Lysol, lavender scented, and I also carry, because I'm terrified of bed bugs, I carry a lavender scented oil spray, and I spray. This is exactly why I am a Lysol sprayer. I have to spray everything, the whole room, the curtains, the bed, the sofas. The whole, I am sorry, but the sink, the toilet seats, you name it, it's getting sprayed with Lysol. And, you know, and they found out that the filthiest areas were the bedspreads, like Gary brought out here, and also the TV buttons. I'm not going to even, I'm going to be nice and not tell you what's on that. But, you know, this was fabulous because this is life in the year 20th century, germs and disgusting things everywhere. And this was just fabulous because this is true. You know, that's why they had to put on those shield guards, because people just sneeze and cough over everything. So I'm just like, excellent regray, excellent home, Gary Rubin. I really enjoyed this. Congratulations on your front page pick. What did you think, Katie?
That was horrible. That first stanza, I'm just going to get rid of that first stanza so I can't see it. Very lovely. I just can't look at it because it just makes me go, dearie me. Wonderful mind, though, but and beautifully written. I mean, it's very clever. One has to admit that. Clever, but yucky, I think is the word I was searching for. Goddamn yucky. Yep, I don't ever want to go into a motel room, a hotel room, or any other room but my own from now on. Never. Yes.
Did you see what Frank said in his comment?
No, I haven't.
He says, "I thought you were aroused." No way, Jose.
You'll have to get out more, Frank.
That was horrible. It was horrifying. And Irish Rose, what did you think? And Gray, Miriam's on the line. And Susan, pick her up.
Oh.
Go ahead, Irish Rose, your comment.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought he outdid himself on the word gross. I mean, you know, it was very graphic, and I thought that was pretty great for the reaction he got from all of us. I thought, yeah, he hit it right on the head.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Miriam? Oh. Avon's calling.
Oh, my ears.
Hello, Ariel 703. Is that you, Miriam?
703, yes, that's me. What? I hope I wasn't making that noise.
No.
That's just to let you know somebody's in and has a phone waiting. Hey, Miriam, welcome to the show. Did you get to hear Gary's home?
I didn't. I was trying to call in. It took me about seven.
Okay.
Different numbers. I'm here now.
Well, welcome. And I'll catch you on the next one. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of the poem you just read, Gary's poem?
I think he captured everything that's gross about modern life quite tactfully. You know, he really nailed the grossness in that, right? So fantastic, right? Excellent to read it.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
All right. Next we have coming up this moment is Cut the Head Off the Fish by Hats. And Gwen, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. Cut the Head Off the Fish by Hats. Begin poem. Since morning, the naked sun has been flowing through the trees. After a sleepless night, I look for the truth at the bottom of the glass. Naively like a voter on election day. I'm a soldier in war. That was never mine. Yet I'm involved, just a developed cluster of cells. The cogs cranking in the head, my hand itches, and my weapon is ink. Supposedly the whole world is watching how the parliamentary elections in Slovakia turned out, whether the Slovaks will stand with Ukraine or shake hands with Russia, as if Slovakia was suddenly important. Small country in the tail of the fucking Union, with the most guarded airspace we've never been so protected as we are now. Hallelujah. Praise them all. Why is the gas odorless? And you won't air out spoiled duck eggs in a week? This fish stinks from the head. rebel poets who were born before me. They wrote to change something. They wrote to open others' eyes. If opening the heart is a cliche, oh God, forgive the poet, because I bark even when I don't bite. I still naively believe that love is not just a word of four letters written on a beer mat. In the poem.
Excellent read, Gwen. I enjoyed this poem by Hat. You know, she bring her metaphors are just fantastic. I really, you know, talking about what is going on right now with these wars, and you know, she brings out, especially with the last two stanzas, how so many things. Well, she says writing, waiting for the first stone thrown. You know, I like her metaphors in here. I love the passion that she wrote with this. And I also like her ending stanzas where she talks about rebel poets who were born before me. They wrote to change something. They wrote in their open others' eyes, if opening the heart is cliche. And, you know, that is so true. You know, excellent, excellent poem, Hat. Wonderful read, Irish Rose. And what did you think about this poem, Gwen?
Oh, I always like to read her work. And I really thought that she took a more observant approach to the war. And with more feeling that she selected, that she channeled into her right. And I like the themes that she poses. Why is the gas odorless? And you won't air out boiled duck eggs in a week. And, you know, just the odd things that she picks up on. And I thought I liked the way she wove the whole thing.
Great. Thank you. An excellent read. Katie, what did you think of Hat's poem?
As Gwen said, was it Gwen that was talking? I hope so. Yeah, said that, yes, it's picking up things that I knew nothing about, because I don't read newspapers or listen to the news. It's not that I don't think everybody should be clued up on everything. It's just that it hurts me so much that I can't bear it, so I don't. I just pray that everybody, that it stops soon and everybody is back to their normal life, because this is horrible. So I'm sorry, I can't be very knowledgeable about what's going on, but that's, I'm afraid, it's a personal choice. But this is very well written, and thank you very much for sharing that with us, Hat. Yeah.
And that's exactly what poets do. We speak out about many different things. Thank you so much, Katie, for an excellent comment. And our next poet to comment is Gray Eyes.
Yeah, you did a beautiful read for that, Gwen. But, you know,
you.
I liked it. You know, it's hard-hitting. It's impactful. You know, it said so much in so few words, really. As if Slovakia was suddenly important, a small country on the tail of the fucking Union with the most guarded aerospace. We've never been so protected as we are now. Hallelujah. Praise them all. You know, it definitely speaks to modern times, you know, that people are going through. But God forgive the poet, because I bark even when I don't bite. I still naively believe that love is not just a word or four letters written on a beer mat. You know, that's not so much. So it was a wonderful write and an excellent read as well.
Thank you.
Great comment, Gray. Thank you. How about you, Miriam?
It's a very powerful poem and a very justly angry poem. Then at the end, as it goes into love, which of course is the remedy for war, and I really like the heart is a cliche. It's kind of a backwards snipe at auto rank, which I often find. Well, I guess I get particularly angry at the word cliche on there, which is so often not justified, because it's the way you use words and phrases that makes a poem powerful. And I thought this was just real beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've had several poets tell me that they, you know, for auto rank that they can't write in that manner to make it, because it loses its emotion, its feeling, and sometimes it does. You know, mm-hmm. I think it makes it colder. And, mm-hmm. you know, and also another time in one of the other shows, I don't know which one it was, but it was, I think it was Frank that pointed it out, Francisco, that if a lot of the poets that we admire, they would never make auto rank with their poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I love about poetry, is that you can express yourself, and I think you should express yourself without any guardrails. And that's no offense to Kevin. You know, a lot of people do really well with the auto rank. I just haven't figured it out, and I don't want to. You know, you go and you try to, I know I tried one time to do it, and every time I would take a word out or switch a word, my ranking would go down, so I just like, oh, forget it.
I play with it. But if I write,
try.
An auto rank tells me they don't like it that way. If I like it better, I put it back. I agree with you. We should not be bound by it.
Yeah, I think there's somewhere else. And Frank just said in the group that he used to get high ranking when he wrote serious poetry. But, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes I just want to express myself. I get auto ranking when I don't expect it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so, and that's difficult. And Miss Katie, we are ready for our next front page pick.
Okie dokie, it's coming up. I am very proud to say, by the way, that I constantly get one, and I'm very happy with that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
Yeah, I've got emotion, and I've got love, and I've got everything in there, and I get a one, and I think, okay, doing well. So, although once I did get a four, so, you know, I'm not bragging or anything. It's only been 2 years. Okay, next we have The Evergreen Immortality by Ole Lunin. And Gray, there is a SoundCloud for this. Are you able to get that for me?
Sure, you bet, yeah.
Thank you.
The Evergreen Immortality. Pleasure is always, pain is never. Pleasure is always lighter than air, filling the bloodstream, the lungs, and the bladder. Pleasure, the ladder to heaven. Pleasure will always keep screaming from sidelines. Pleasure will guide me through storm it created, through brain waves and sound waves and heat waves, all washing the shorelines of heaven. I'm heaven, none of it. Pain is forever, you see. Pain is wherever you look. Pain is the sweat and the blood and the substance coated in pleasurely sheaths. Under the sheets, the moans, the stones of envious gazes running the maze of love. I guess those are the two poles of my compass. Pleasure, as always. Pleasure in hallways entwined by the green leaves of envy. Pleasure, enjoyment in joints and blotters. The clots of pain ever growing near the roadside to heaven. I'd be glad to stop and admire the view. Actually, I just did. My mind left me in the dust, you see. Or was it my spirit? I can never tell. And I never will. Never, forever, the corners of heaven's mouth.
I so enjoy it when poets from other countries, you know, send in a SoundCloud. I enjoy listening to the accents and the way that they express their words and their emotions, you know, his metaphors and imagery in here, you know, it's just part of life. Life is pleasure, life is pain, you know. Especially I find that the older we get, the more things that we go through, we also feel the pleasure in everything that surrounds us and also the pain. And I really thought that he brought that out. This is just fantastic, you know. It just makes me think, you know, about lust and how we see things You know, I really love this. Pleasure as always, pleasure in the hallways entwined by the green leaves of envy, pleasure, enjoyment, in joints and blotters, the clots of pain ever growing near the roadside to heaven. I'm glad to stop and admire the view. You know, and I find as I age, there is the simple pleasures of enjoyment. You know, and also sometimes when I'm looking at these simple pleasures, it, you know, I can find myself crying, tears of just remembering things that were worth, things that never will be. And, you know, like he says, my mind left me in the dust. Oh, what a fabulous poem. Thank you, Ole. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
I agree with you, my darling. There are certain things that just catch you unexpectedly, and they have an effect you don't expect them to have, and that's what's happened. And it's very hard, and it's great that everybody that I know here can actually express how they feel. Because it's not easy. It never is. But I don't know about pain being in any way pleasurable. I mean, if it hurts, as far as I'm concerned, you're doing it wrong. So I don't want anything. I don't want anything to do with that. Thank you very much.
Well, it could feel a little good, like when you get a stink in the lump, you know.
But yes,
or a passionate kiss that hurts your lips. Yeah, pain. A little bit of pain is good.
Okay.
Not agony.
No. Yeah, well, you're right. Not agony. Definitely not agony. It's a very complex thing, though, isn't it? Pleasure, pain, mm-hmm. one side of the coin and the other. You know, it's like they say that people who are particularly clever are also particularly insane. So, you know, it's always two sides of one coin that we have to deal with all the time. The differences of all these things, and people react differently. But yes, I thought this was very cleverly written. I thought it was very interesting. I loved the way the pleasure was brought into it quite a lot. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as I say, very well done, cleverly written, and I enjoyed the read. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Excellent comment. Thank you, Katie. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
I mean, you know, I think you really nailed the pleasure and pain aspect of life quite wonderfully. Pleasure as always, pleasure in hallways entwined by the green leaves of envy, pleasure, enjoyment in joints and blotters, the plots of pain ever growing near the roadside to heaven. I'd be glad to stop and admire the view. Actually, I just did. You know, it's a really engaging poem. It speaks from the heart, which is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I really enjoyed that penultimate stanza. My mind left me in the dust, you see. Or was it my spirit? I can never tell, and I never will. Never, forever, the corners of heaven's mouth. Yeah, just so wonderful, right?
No. Great. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Glenn?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I like the way he pitted pleasure versus pain. And I thought it was really clever the way he wrapped pain. He inserted pleasure around the experience of pain. You know, that you can't have this wonderful thing without having pain, whatever this thing is going to be. And I thought that was an interesting point that was made in here on the third stanza, how he reflected upon that. And I like the way he concluded, my mind left me in the dust. Or was it my spirit? So I really enjoyed this write. I thought it was really clever.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Excellent comic, Glenn. Thank you. And Miriam, what did you think of Ole's poem?
I thought it was interesting. Pleasure is always, pain is never. And that theme goes throughout the poem. To me, I can't experience both at once, but in quick succession, yes. And sometimes when you're experiencing pleasure, it seems as if it will never end. Like you're watching at sunset or something like that. Oh, this is glorious. Is it going to last forever? And pain certainly can seem that way. Like I've had a 24-hour level 10 migraine. I thought this is never going to end. So I agree that we can experience either one that way. And the other thing I wanted to say about this that really struck me, in the sixth line, the lungs and the bladder, pleasure the ladder to heaven, first ladder and ladder, we've got an internal rhyme there. And then I noticed again, almost at the bottom, at the end of the see if I can find it again. Enjoyment in joints and blotters. And as that blotters leapt out at me, it ties it back to the beginning of the got bladders and blotters. I have no idea whether that was intentional, but I really like that.
Agreed. Thank you, Miriam. Wonderful comment. And we are ready for our next one, Miss Katie.
Okay, dokie. And we have it now. We have Autumn Coloring Book by Jack Tomkovic. Now, I'm going to read this because I haven't read yet, and it's autumn.
Okay.
I love anything to do with autumn. Autumn Coloring Book. Autumn, the time we get a particular brown of the leaves, or is it brownish purple? Add the lemon yellows and the pumpkin oranges, the fire engine reds, and the crayon box overflows. Looking like apples, peaches, figs, and plums, they plummet like sailing ships on rough waters. As trees do the twist and shake leaves to the ground, puppies jump in piles as toddlers laugh in lavender. Some might call it plum or burgundy. I wouldn't. End poem.
he can go from very serious to passionate to just pure enjoyment when you read his poem. He said he was walking in a multi-hued leaves with my wife. What a wonderful time, peace and joy. And, you could just feel his creativity here when he was walking, the words forming in his mind to write this poem, the gorgeous imagery. I could hear the puppies and the toddlers crunching the leaves. I love the colors that he brought out of here. I don't want to read the whole thing, but the stanza, add the lemon yellows and the pumpkin oranges and the fire engine reds and the crayon box overflows, because you do. You just look at all the, and you obviously he was looking at the leaves and the different colors and the way that they furl and change into a different hue. I really love this poem by Jack. This is one of my favorite poems he's written. What did you think, Katie? You read this beautifully.
Thank you so much. Oh, it was a joy to read. As I say, anything to do with autumn, I'm in there. But yes, I love the purplish brown, or is it brownish purple? And then we have all the colors coming through, looking like apples and peaches and figs and plums. And I also love the joy of as trees do the twist and shake. As trees do the twist and shake leaves to the ground. Very clever. Very clever, Jack. I'm very impressed. And thank you so much for posting this for us to enjoy.
And thank you, Katie. You read it beautifully. And Gray Ice, what did you think?
I thought he captured the season of autumn quite beautifully, I like this title. But, I also like his author's notes. Walking in the multi-hued leaves with my wife, what a wonderful time. Peace and joy and enjoy. But, yeah, you can see the puppies jumping in the leaf piles, and it really is beautifully painted poem. He has such an articulate way of expressing his scenery, which is a beautiful thing. So great job. and an excellent read, Weaver.
Thank you, Gray. Beautiful comment. And what did you think, Gwen?
I was away, so I wasn't able to hear it all. I'll have to come back.
Okay. Catch you on the next comment. Miriam, okay. What did you think of the poem?
Autumn poems are, in my experience at least, primarily about color, and Jack has done a wonderful job with that, with the title Coloring Book and then the Crayon Box Overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has a wonderful sense of movement. You've got the fruit plummeting like sailing ships on rough waters, and the trees twisting and shaking their leaves to the ground, and then the puppies and the toddlers jumping around. So just a thorough, enjoyable poem.
Agree. Thank you, Miriam. Wonderful comment. We're ready for our next poem, Ms. Katie.
All righty. And here we have Love is Real by Iris Rose. Gwen, would you read this for us, please?
Sure, thank you. Begin poem, Love is Real. 4 a.m., no light. The best time to write before reality, July slips in and gets wise. That's when words take flight, smothering dark silence with sunrise, filling shadowed corners, the darkness blinding, but not its black life, not its black life. Full of spiritual bloodlust disease that swallows us through the media, chaotically digesting us, instilling real doubt and fear. But that consummate evil, the fallen angel of light, now sings. He's busy, reaping men on a bladed boomerang sling, tossed by a murderer's hands, drawing everything prophetically, exfoliating humanity from the earth, turning murderers into wild, perverted beasts. So what is the value of life? Isn't it everything? Moment by moment, it's different to each side. The killing, the bleeding, the death, the dying, the barbaric brutality of it all. Death speaks loudly. What do you feel, hear, and see? Its enmity has descended upon us, like a web having captured the earth in its ruthless teeth, cleverly. We are very sick and deceived, murdering without a license to kill, in this life with no stop signs. Look, it's war, heaven or hell, and there's no breaks. Life is changing and rearranging. Evil is chaos making, suiting their needs, recalibrating for the next phase, revealing a real morphing into the revelation state to stay tuned. The spiritual world is real, coming our way. Life has gone beyond risky in the hands of monstrous men. Where it is cut with hate, life's been faked, rearranged with the lies human monsters make. Then that flash in the sky, the future starts to die. In Israel, Palestine lights up the night. A warring Congress is unstrung. Actions and reactions, raging rockets hit Gaza. Blackened skies cover the sun, suffocating the truth. And China rewrites the Bible. Ask yourself why. War in the Holy Land has returned, full of raging men, stealing the night, shouting threats, new terrorists sing, the song of war, the song of the great dying yet to come. Are you prepared? Remember the most important thing above all, no matter what we see, no matter, love is real. Love is real, however you believe. In poem.
Oh my goodness, Gwen. You know, this is a very powerful, emotive, right? Light versus darkness. And, you know, the chaos that we see going around the world, you know, and you bring this out beautifully, how we've learned not to value, you know, life. Life is not valued anymore. And, you know, you bring out here turning murderers into wild, perverted beasts. You also bring out murdering without a license to kill in this life with no stop signs. then you bring out that spiritual world, this world that is coming our way, you know. You know, you talk about the flashes in the sky, the future starts to die in Israel. You know, this is so deeply painful. You know, you even bring out blackened skies over the sun, suffocating the truth and trying to rewrite the Bible. Ask yourself why. Everything is done for manipulation to twist the light into darkness. You know, I find it appalling that, you know, a lot of people, you know, who are religious and believe in Jesus, or if you don't, just knowing who he was and how he lived his life, he lived his life with love. He never hurt anybody, you know, he never killed anybody. And he set an example that even when he was living with the Romans and how violent they were, that you could still maintain your dignity and still show love against the violence that is so prevalent in these different societies as we see through history. And these kingdoms and these governments and these ruling kings, they no longer exist because they become so deprived and so violent that, you know, we see all these through history, obviously warmongering and murder and hate and looking at another person or their land is something to take without, you know, because you call them savages or believe them heathens. What has it accomplished? They no longer exist. They're dead, you know. We're digging everything up, you know, and looking at, you know, what caused them to fail. And, you know, you this is so well written that it makes one question, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not living in harmony with the earth. You know, not only, it's not just, you know, looking at people as, you know, as the ex-president said, vermin, you know, seeing people of other nationalities is something to be destroyed like Hitler did. And, you know, I find that deeply offensive because this all leads to one thing. And unfortunately, that's not the, you know, the world that I would choose to live in. I believe in love. And I believe love conquers all. Thank you, Gwen. Oh, this was just amazing. What did you think, Katie, of Gwen's Irish Roses poem?
Yes, I thought it was really, really good, Gwen. I really enjoyed it. You read it wonderfully. I fear for the future.
That's your
a
too.
Lot. I also think that we, each of us, would like to do something, but unfortunately, the people who could do something are the ones who have the money and the power and don't intend to do anything that's going to stop them selling what they sell for the kind of prices they sell them for. And that is the problem with our world at the moment. Money is power. It's not knowledge.
Yeah.
It's not kindness. It's money and power. And that's a sad, sad thing to think about. And I'll say it again. I've said it so often. I am so glad I'm old because I won't be here much longer. I pity the youngsters of today. I really do. It needs a big, large, shouty person to go out there and grab a few people by the hair and tell them to do what they should be doing. And it needs somebody who's strong. And we haven't got one of those yet. But he will or she will arrive at some point, I hope. But as I say, sorry about that. Just a little rant this time. I'm so apologetic. I shouldn't do it. But it was beautiful.
No.
It invokes a lot of interest and talking, which is a great thing as well. So thank you.
Agreed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Katie. And what did you think, Gray?
Well, you did a beautiful read on that poem. But, you know, I like the poem. You know, it's poignant. It's impactful. It speaks the truth. You know, love is real. And, you know, I think if the world gave more love and received more love, it would be a much more peaceful place for sure. But, you know, it's very sad what's going on in Israel and Palestine and all that. You know, the fighting is just never ending and never ceasing. And it's very sad. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an impactful, right? You know, you really captured a lot of what's going on in the world. And you did a beautiful job of doing it. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Miriam?
Like the beginning of it, very much. It's very poetic and it sets a certain mood, but then the mood turns. I thought maybe the most powerful part was talking about Lucifer. He's busy reaping men on a bladed boomerang sling tossed by murderous hands, destroying everything. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very powerful. And there's a lot of very negative, hopeless even, sounding words in this poem. But then it ends with love is real, however you believe. And that is actually more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you.
Glenn, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Yeah, it's just when I wrote this, you know, I wake up early in the morning and I write early in the morning, usually between 3:30 and 7 every morning. And it was just one of those mornings where everything had gone crazy, it seemed to me, when I had heard about Israel and Palestine, and it just didn't, I just couldn't believe everything was coming apart like that. And then I started to watch it more and just really do more research. And I just really felt impressed that I had to let out what I was feeling and write about it. And
mm-hmm.
this was the result.
Thank you for expressing yourself and the things that you see going on in the world. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it people will become rational, but it seems like they're becoming more rabid, that they've lost their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, terrible. Just terrible. Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks.
And well, Anne Frank said that you wrote a very powerful poem, and I agree. We're ready for our next poem.
Ready, ho, ho. Here we have Scenery 7 by Isaiah Destiny Ugolo. Fabulous name. And certainly is. And Gray, could you read this for us, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we have Scenery 7 by Isaiah Destiny Igulu. Singing to the sun, a yellow kingfisher, sunbathed in the atmosphere, hugs plums most fair, chip-chap on the riprap, chit-chat, my blue day fading away, emergency, non, more emergency. A gamma heads up and down the red lights. In the broken canopy, the drip drips from shards of clouds. Rainy twilight, an umbrella moonwalking the alleyway. In thuds and thunderstorms, star falls. Night long, the distance between moon and I. End poem.
Thank you, Gray. You know, this was a gorgeous poem by Ezekiel. what I'm like, Lizzie was talking about scenery, and I'm going to hang up after this phone and call back in, Gray. I love what he was watching with his mind's eye. Just beautiful, singing to the sun, a yellow kingfisher sunbathe in the atmosphere. Hugs plums most fair, chit-chat on the riprap, chit-chat on blue day fading away. I could just see this, just, you know, watching nature and just having her spirit just wrap around me through the blue day before it becomes night. I really enjoyed this poem. You did a wonderful read, Gray. And Gray, could you ask for the comments, and I shall call right back.
Sure.
Thank you.
Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, it was wonderful. It just seemed to, well, singing to the sun, and it just did that. It sang to us. I was humming along here. Very good. This definitely needs to be set to music, I reckon. Can you imagine it? Chiff chaff on the riprap. Chick chat, my blue day fading away. Love it. Very cleverly done. I can understand entirely why this got a top page pick choice. Yes, I think there's somebody who really enjoys the sound of the words. You know, we write them down and we look at them, and you know, usually we will try and read them out to ourselves. You know, but this is a chap who really enjoys what the words do and how they sound. And very cleverly done. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Is that Isaiah? Isaiah? I think it is. I don't know. Thank you anyway.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts? Oh, we've lost Irish Rose. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
This has a lot of very beautiful, very unusual imagery in it. And I was going to tell you that I am a veritable dictionary of nature, but instead I will admit that I looked it up. And Agama is a small lizard, and I just can imagine the little lizard bobbing its head up and down. That's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And also
great.
A drip drips from shards of clouds, and God, sometimes they do look sharp. So, yeah, this is very well done. I enjoyed it.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Miriam. And Gray, thank you for reading and taking over for me. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Shut it up. It's Imperfect Poetry by Miriam Kilmer. If you wouldn't mind reading that for us, Miriam.
I would love to.
Thank you.
Imperfect Poetry. His poem was so meaningful and lovely, I wanted to include it in my list. But there were several grammar flaws and typos. So humbly had he asked for my critique that I was more than willing to oblige. With thoughtful words, I praised his intuition, his skillful use of words, and his ideas. I pointed out his punctuation errors, the minor flaws I noticed in his work. Then, quick to soften any blows I'd landed, I mentioned several images that sparkled, reflecting on the splendor of his art. His answer came, apologetic anguish, self-doubt, frustration, hints of giving up. Here was a poet fighting to regain his skills from major damage to his brain.
Mm. And could you read your author's notes, Miriam?
Sure. This was for a contest about disability by Musing. Instead of telling about my own disabilities, which I have done at length in other poems, I chose to write about the time I accidentally stepped on the virtual toes of another poet struggling with a disability I had not considered. This is definitely a true story.
Well, you know, I have done this and have accidentally, you know, you try to tell them as nice as you can. And I realize that a lot of people have visual problems or they're blind. I've had some with brain injuries, or I've also had people who have had, they have issues with epilepsy, which, you know, you never know, you know, it's just human nature to want to say, oh, you forgot your period or you misspelled a word. You know, there's also some poets that just write and they don't care. You know, they just let it all out like attention deficit, you know, it just spills out. And, you know, I've been in your, you know, so now I don't do it. I don't do it anymore because I don't know if someone is dealing with a health issue or disability. And, you know, I accept the writing as they've written it because that's how they've written it. And I really enjoyed this, Miriam. You know, how you also experienced this. And, you know, I appreciated that you encouraged him and that you pointed out, you know, the beautiful writing so that, you know, it's like that old saying, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. But now I've learned not to say anything, you know. And so I really love this poem, and I really enjoyed it very much, Miriam, because it brings to mind that, you know, to just be a little more accepting of whatever somebody chooses to pin. Thank you, Miriam.
Welcome.
And what did you think about this poem, Katie?
Yes, so well done. And I imagine, I can only imagine how you felt at that point. And it's wonderful that you are able to take that step back and think before, you know, anything. I know you wouldn't have ever said anything that would hurt anybody anyway, because you're such a lovely lady. But it's possible to, you are, but it's possible sometimes. I mean, my mouth is my worst enemy, always has been. So I have to be very careful. But you do nowadays, because you just have no idea. Because we're doing this, we're doing this through the written word. We're not, you know, face to face with someone. So you there is nothing you can do to prepare yourself for what that person is like. They can only give you what they want to give you. And so it is very difficult not to put a huge size 10 foot in it. So you did that very skillfully and obviously helped that poor chap very much as well, which is, it's nice to know, because everybody should be able to or have the right to write or sing or whatever it is they want to do.
Dance to their own music.
Yeah, exactly. Dance as if no one's watching. Or in my case, it's not even. It's not going to make any difference if you're watching.
You can still dance in your chair, you know. You can still dance.
I was out in Spain on my birthday, and now this is, I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it quickly. I was out on my birthday, and it was a wonderful night because there was loads of people. Five people had birthdays on the same day, and everybody was having a wonderful time up dancing. So I got up to dance. Now, bear in mind, my legs are not working properly, but there I was, giving it loudly. And it was, I think it was Kiss by Tom Jones. And you know when you get to the bit where he says Kiss, and then he does a sort of a bob and comes back up again, right? I did the bob and fell flat on my back. I couldn't get back up. I was so
embarrassed. No.
Yeah. So don't do that. Don't do that. So, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, everybody was very nice to me and made me feel better, which is what your poem would do for people. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Katie. And Frank in the group is saying that you, Miriam, that you, your poem was very expressive and very personal. He enjoyed it. And what did you think about this poem, Gray?
I like it. You know, it speaks to the truth of, you know, being trying to critique somebody's work, you know, and having that person not want to continue writing and, you know, takes it so personally that they just shun on poetry and just kind of want to leave it because, you know, you pointed out some flaws in their work or whatever. But, you know, I don't know. I find critiquing quite both good and bad. I mean, you know, you want to be critiqued, but you don't want to hear it at the same time. So I thought it was fantastic and very truth-filled. So an excellent write and a great read as well.
It did lead to a very good conversation.
Yeah.
This guy, he didn't just stop. I mean, he's going on fighting, and we had a very good conversation about, you know, what he could improve on or how he might get somebody else to read over his poems. But, I really did not want him to leave with the impression that he should stop writing poetry. That was awful. Turned out all right.
Well, I'm happy you were able to get through to him, Miriam. Thank you for your beautiful poem.
Thank you.
And experience. For our next poem, Miss Katie.
All right, we're having one more topic, and then we'll be going on to open poetry in a little while. So this is Shades of Being by Garden Delights. And do you feel up to reading this, Lou, or will I read it?
I can try. If it's not too long. Here we go. Shades of Being by Garden Delights. In a fertile land drenched in mystery, home to humankind, for millennia, I wonder if I belong. A lone tremolo reminds me I am not alone here. Yet what I do see is still companion to me. How I wish that meant you. You, running your hand over the rickety fence, stopping to pluck a clover, trace it along my lips before we kiss. Vacant wooden rails shudder in the breeze, mist shifts through them like ribbons of living water. I brush away wet trails on lonely cheeks. I am one, clumsy, gosling, amid a brood of fluffy ducklings with youth of his sling challenging a Philistine. I cannot conquer this labyrinth of loneliness before me, but I can sprout my best green joining the little spruce beyond our fencing, just we two against the world. And poem. And Katie, can you direct the comments, please?
Yes, of course, my dear. Okay, so Miriam, your thoughts, please.
I was particularly struck by the last verse and had to read it several times over. At first I thought there's a contradiction, but there really isn't, because it says, I cannot conquer this labyrinth of loneliness. So it's really just a matter of being realistic. This is what I can't do, and then this is what I can do. I can sprout my best green, joining a little spruce beyond our fencing, just we two against the world. So the labyrinth of loneliness is not conquering the poet either.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well put. And Gray, your thoughts? Have I dropped?
I thought it was lovely. You know, she really uses her imagery and her words to paint a picture that is akin to the one that she's used with her poem. I cannot conquer a labyrinth of loneliness before me, but I can sprout my best green, joining the little spruce beyond our fencing, just we two against the world. You know, it's so beautiful. Such an engaging poem, and fabulous to hear it read, Louise.
Thank you. Thank you, Gray. Well, I'll make my comment. I think this is wonderful. Well done.
Yeah.
Really, is that first stanza, my goodness. You know, that is heartfelt. And I know exactly how that feels. In a fertile land drenched in mystery, home to humankind for millennia, I wonder if I belong. That's exactly how I feel. I'm totally walking to a different beat. And I have been an outsider most of my life, so I understand exactly how this would affect a person. And you did it so well. So thank you, Garden Delights, as ever. Wonderful poetry. And Louie, your thoughts, my dear.
Well, you know, this touched me deeply because this is just beautifully penned. She had, there was this gorgeous photograph. I wish everybody could see it. You know, it's showing a pasture with the wild trees and a rickety fence and, you know, the trees. And there's a draped mist. And I could see her walking through this. You know, she's remembering, you know, her past love who's no longer with her and how the habits that they have, you know, you don't forget that. You know, the things that they would do, you can see them in your mind's eye as if they were there, even if they're not. You know, where she says that you're running your hand over the rickety fence, stopping to pluck a clover, tracing it along my lips to slowly. And, you know, she's remembering, you know, those moments and the things that they would do, walking in these beautiful trails together, you know, having lived quite a while. And, you know, then no longer having your mates and, you know, feeling where do I belong? You know, you never stop loving the person that you've been deeply in love with when they're no longer there. But those are sometimes at the end that those happy moments where, you know, it's not only the loneliness, but it's kind of entwined with happiness, with the memories that you shared with them. And, you know, I just loved her last stanza. I cannot conquer this labyrinth of loneliness before me, but I can stop my best green joining the little spruce beyond our fencing, just we two against the world. And remembering, you know, the spruces that they planted and, you know, the happiness to see that there's a, which you can't see, there's two spruces in this picture, and it just reminded me of the both of them. Beautiful, beautiful poem, Gwen, and congratulations on your front page pick. Okay, Miss Katie?
Okay, my dear. Okay, moving swiftly onwards, but on to open poetry. And the first one up, it's by Francisco de Mar. And we have a SoundCloud. Gray, if you could get a hold of that for us, please.
I pose and track me like a sizzling flame, igniting my passion. Dressed in sensual black, she seduces me with her round, luscious lips. Her exotic eyes stare me to be naughty and inquisitive. Her flirting hips move like a femme fatale on the run. She wants to play a lustful game of cops and robbers. Tie me up tonight with just some erotic we can whisper arouses me. Make me beg with desire like a sinful criminal. She touches and frisks me slowly with her lawful fingers of pleasure. Her lips invite me to taste the cool sip of the moisture. She feels the stiffness between my manly thighs, packing heat. Attempting to use the dominance of the persuasion, I wait to be put in her cruise car, ride from the back seat. Her name evokes a delicious moan of my surrender. She grabs onto the tip of my Glock 19, loading, blowing a sexy puff. Cuff me as you come. Cuff me, my dear, as you come, as you come, as you come.
I hope I don't start coughing here. This was deeply sensual and deeply erotic. I loved where he said, make me beg with desire like a sinful criminal. Oh. And then, oh my goodness, his wording is just like right on the tip of dangerous. Her lips invite me to taste the cool sip of her moisture. She feels the stiffness between my manly thighs, packing heat. I got to say that this is just a fabulous write. It is deeply sensual, deeply sexual. It is muy good. Okay. I don't hear anybody breathing. Is everybody still on here? Or did the phone line burn?
We're here.
I got to know what you think.
We're after 9 o'clock. Yes, we are. That's fine. 9 o'clock deadline in our country where you can't say anything rude. So I'm okay. I can say what I like. No, I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. An awful lot of coming and going there, Frank, but understandably.
My face is red.
I mean, what's with the Glock? I mean, really? And I do love the police uniform. I mean, that's pretty damn nice. Oh, my goodness. Talk about nowhere to hide your big gun. Not wrong. Don't start coughing. Oh my goodness me. Cuff me. Oh really? Oh, well done. Well done, Frank. This is a cracker, as they say here. It's a wee cracker. It was very well done. And I did like dressed in sensual black, she seduces me with her round luscious lips. Her exotic eyes dare me to be naughty and inquisitive. I don't think there's an awful lot hidden in this one. You don't really have to be inquisitive. It's all laid out for you. Beautifully done, Frank.
I could not read that last stanza. My face is red. I dared not touch it. It was just too hot. It might have burnt my phone down.
Oh, it would have.
Great. Great. Thank you, Katie. Great. What did you think?
Yeah, that was steamy. You know, Frank has a way with words when it comes to his sensual rites, and this is no less the charm that he has. You know, it was erotic, deeply sensual, and powerful. So great job. Thank you for sharing, Frank. Excellent read
Thank
as well.
Thank you, Gray. And Miriam, would you like to comment on Frank's poem? Miriam, are you still with us? Gray, is she still on the line?
I need to skip
this
one.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
Yeah, I need to skip
All right. Okay, thank you, Miriam. Okay, we're ready for our next, Miss Katie.
Okay. Next we have Poets by S. Sharp. I think this may have a SoundCloud. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it does.
Cool. Give you a chance to cool down. Great.
Poets. Poets are kidnappers, snatching my thoughts, calling me on burner phones, asking for clandestine meetings, telling me to come alone. Across town to shady locations, downstairs in dank basements, abandoned buildings where even the police won't go. And I agree. They ask me to meet them in mountain hideaways, distant cabins, as fog shrouds the page. I drive through it. I clutch my steering wheel, slow down, put my fog lights on, and try to stay out of the roadside ditches. Poets make it snow, winter blizzards, words, everything going sideways. Ice on the roads, slick spots that send me spinning into oncoming traffic, questioning which direction I am going. Spun around again and again, stopping, pulling off the road, putting chains on and following the plow, clearing the road. Yes, poets are criminals, kidnappers, extortionists, living on the lam, waiting to be captured, handcuffed, brought to account, extracting intellectual ransom, asking us to make a drop under some park bench or in a corner trash can on a dark winter's night in exchange for a puzzle while they watch with binoculars from 100 yards away, snickering, no, laughing as we put the pieces together.
I have got to say, this is one of my favorite poems that Scott Sharp has written, titled Poets. How, when I read poetry from various contexts and different images, the thoughts, you know, sometimes it's just thoughts that are put down. You know, it's just, they take us through these winding streets and, and you feel like sometimes when I read noir poetry, I'm taking into the smoky images that he brings. You know, he.
You disappeared, my dear.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, and, you know, just the different imagery when we read somebody's poem, where they take us into cabins, into mountains, and these emotional, emotive poems where it feels like a blizzard. You know, and sometimes I read a poem and I feel like as if I was in a car and I was, you know, getting on black ice, spinning around. You know, this is fantastic. And we know that I've had, in fact, I've talked to a few people lately who have had a lot of people just, you know, I call them, you know, like stalkers, but they're not really stalkers, you know, they just read your poems over and over again. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people, you know, would you, sometimes I've seen when I've written something very honestly, somebody will make a snide comment and they laugh at it, even though it's my emotions, which I would never do that to them or anybody else, but it's just the personalities, different poets. And I thought that he, you know, he says, in exchange for a puzzle while they watch binoculars from 100 yards away, snickering, no laughing as we put the pieces together, you know, and that can mean many different things to each of us. And I thought that that was just totally wonderfully written and fascinating. You know, the minds and the readers of poetry. I really enjoyed this poem. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Excuse me. It's a weird world we live in. This is a very insular community. And people, again, excuse me a second, I'm going to cough.
I understand.
It's horrible when your voice starts to go. Mine gets really deep. Hello. Hello. Okay, not any better. But yes, very clever. Very clever. This is because this is what happens. People just don't like anybody else to A, get praise, or B, write better than they do, or C, be a very nice person. And there are so many people on this in this group that are exactly that. So we have these little horrors that we have to try and ignore. Let's just block them. That's why I say block them all. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think of Sharp's poem, Gray?
I really enjoyed it. You know, his read was fantastic. But, you know, the imagery in this is just spot on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The way he captures the imagination, the way a poet does, you know, and really causes you to, you know, to make a drop under some park bench or in a corner trash can on a dark winter's night in exchange for a puzzle while they watch with binoculars from 100 yards away, snickering, no laughing, as we put the pieces together. You know, it's just a honest and truthful write on the subject of poets. So, beautiful job.
Thank you, Gray. Excellent comment. And Miriam, what did you think of Sharp's poem?
I think there are some poems that can hit us this way. I don't think I've read very many. I mean, it's a powerful poem in itself. And as Sharp is writing about very, very powerful poetry, not just in how it makes us feel, but how it makes us think, that we actually enter into the experience of someone else, and it can be very, very dark. Just expressed very well.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Miriam. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay, and here we have Like Meat, Love Salt by our dear Miriam. And would you give this a read, please, Miriam?
I would. Like Meat, Love Salt. I miss you as peeling wallpaper misses fresh paste. My eyes miss the mirrors in the depths of your eyes. And my fingers, the texture of your hammered silk cheeks, the scent of your skin, musky and faintly floral, was my world. Soft air of this temperate night, blow faintly across my yearning mouth. Carry the passion of my emptiness to the lips of the one I lost. Twine tenderly around those curling ears, whispering, remember me.
Oh, you know, it was beautiful to hear you read this. Congratulations on your bronze medal in our contest with Weaver and I. What I loved and what I loved here was, I miss you as peeling wallpaper misses fresh paste. My eyes miss the mirrors in the depths of your eyes. Oh, I love that line. And my fingers, the texture of your hammered silk cheeks. You know, and, you know, I could just, you know, feel you remembering these tender memories. You know, they're never lost. They always stay with us. And then you went on to say, carry the passions of my emptiness to the lips of the one I lost. Twine tenderly around those curling ears, whisper and remember me. It just touched my heart so deeply that I could just feel the emotions of the loss. Thank you, Miriam, and congratulations on your bronze.
Thank you so much.
And Katie, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
It was lovely, and that was a beautiful read as well. I love those first two lines. I miss you as peeling wallpaper misses fresh paste. My eyes miss the mirrors in the depth of your eyes. Beautifully written. This is sad. This is sweet. And there's so much pathos here as well. I don't know if that's a word. I don't know if I'll make it up or not. Anyway, but that last couple of lines, twine tenderly around those curling ears, whispering, remember me. Oh, beautifully done. There is an awful lot of feeling in this poem. This is a poem of loss, of missing someone who's no longer with you, whether they just moved away or, you know, or they're just not here with us anymore. It was beautifully written, I must admit, and it really touched me. So thank you for sharing, Miriam.
Thank you, Katie.
And Grey Eyes, would you please make a comment on Miriam's poem?
You did a beautiful read on that, Miriam. But, you know, I enjoyed the poem. You can feel the longing and the connection that you long for in this, right? Twine tenderly around those curling ears, whispering, remember me. Such a beautiful, touching rite, full of love and devotion and emotion. So a great rite and a fabulous read, Miriam.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grey Eyes. Miriam, I don't know, would you like to comment on your poem or say anything?
Yes, this was a poem that kind of wrote itself. Like when I wrote the first line, I thought, does that mean anything? I miss you as peeling wallpaper misses fresh paste. And it's the kind of thing that if you said it to somebody, they might go, what in the hell? But it's like the title, like Meat, Love, Salt. And, King Lear asked his daughters, how much do you love me? And his first two daughters gave these marvelous poetic answers. And the third daughter said, Cordelia said, I love you like meat loves salt. And Lear got so angry he threw her out. And later on he tasted meat without salt and started crying. Now I know what she meant. So that's what I realized I meant by I miss you as peeling wallpaper misses fresh paste. If there's no fresh paste, the peeling wallpaper is just going to dry up and come off.
So true. Thank you, Miriam. Beautiful poem and a gorgeous read. And we're ready for our next front page pick, Miss Katie.
Alrighty. We have Without Looking Back or Down When Jumping by Bev Smith. And I will give this one a read. Diddly-dee. So, without looking back or down when jumping. I close shop doors whose hinges need smooth to quiet a winsome creak. I want to make selfish the open that runs from me. Soothe the bear in my cave whose need is sleep. I want the sayers, nay, said, to leave me enough of myself to exist on for the time taken. My index fingers map an existence beyond me to air this many acres and then some by skyline, pines tree line. My smell perches prairie big and served as the tug set for strumming my heart twang plucked. End poem.
Gorgeous read, Katie. I really enjoy reading Seth Smith's poetry. What did you think about her poem, Gray Eyes?
You did a beautiful job of reading that, Weaver. But, you know, I like the imagery and the metaphors in this. You know, I like the way it speaks to finding oneself and loving that. So, you know, the naysayers can say nay, but you're going to carry on carrying on. So I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Gray. That's excellent comment. And what did you think about the poem, Miriam?
Well, I can just hear those hinges of the shop doors creaking. And wouldn't it be nice to have some oil to quiet them? But the part that really struck me is leave me enough of myself to exist on. What sadness must have been in Bev Smith's mind to write such a sad line. And, you know, it there's some hope afterwards, but just that one line.
Agreed.
F line.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just said it was correcting myself. It's one and a half lines. But anyway, it really, really touched me.
Yeah, she does have fabulous imagery in here. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, this was interesting to read. Sorry, I stumbled a little bit there, but I do apologize. But it was lovely. I did like that first stanza. I close shop doors whose hinges need smooth to quiet a winsome creak. I can't stand creaking doors. Drive me batty. So I'm always out with the that stuff. Click, 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 that stuff that you spray on. Yeah. I thought very cleverly written, Joyce. I thought this gave an awful lot. In as much as we had your thoughts and they were very, very interesting. I like it. Naysayers, you ignore the naysayers because that is not something they say to themselves. That's just what they put out to people to make them feel better or superior or whatever. They know nothing. You know the people who can give you the proper advice that you need or want. And you don't need to listen to anybody else. So, yes, very well done. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing, Ben.
Yeah, you know, you did such a beautiful job of reading Bev's poem. I really liked her imagery in here because, you know, it's true, you know, where you just, you know, that old saying, they make you walk, you know, you feel like you're walking on eggs, you know, hoping you don't crack that thin shell. You know, nobody wants to keep looking back at, you know, everything, question everything, or when they're jumping down, you know, they're just like this squeaky door that will not shut up and will drive you insane. It just, you know, just squeaks and squeaks, or like dripping water that you can't get fixed, and it just drives you, you know, it just drives you insane. You can't, you know, sleep, you know, you can't sleep, and you need that. Everybody needs peace in their lives so that they can sleep, regardless of the people who just backstab you all the time or always talking behind your back. And, you know, you feel, you know, that dream to just get away. You know, this reminded me of a small town where everybody knows your business, or like in a high school where everybody's, you know, just picking on you all the time, or at work, you know, and you just, you look forward to finding peace, just somewhere you can just lay down and hibernate and just enjoy life, where she says, my smile perches prairie big, you know, and I felt in the tug set for strumming my heart's twang pluck, you know, and then you realize, you know, for me at least, you can't get away. You can't move yet. You know, life, everything costs money to move, to do something, to do anything. to travel, to even get away, you know, and just to realize that just to escape it, it just gets plucked away because for some reason you're not, you know, able to leave that town. Maybe you're caring for your parents. But see, this is what I love about poetry, because it makes my mind and my thoughts go in all different directions, trying to, at least in my life, you know, see what they're trying to say. And, you know, and like Miriam brought out, you know, this is a deeply, deeply painful poem. And congratulations on your front page pick, Bev. Okay. Sorry for the long comment. We're ready for our next poem.
No problem, my dear. Everything's fine and dandy. Right, we have What We Take, We Give Back by Bardi Bach. That's a wonder, another wonderful name. And Miriam, would you care to read this one, please?
Sure. Dreescape 2. We stoic steadfast grow and age slowly, live longer than any creature on the planet, some of us 1,000 years, all seasons, drought and winter. We are tall. What we take from earth, we give back threefold blind. I shed my leaves, my branch and bark, replenish the soil and flaxen forest floor. Resilient, we face a furnace of raging bushfire, radiant sun, ruddy executioner and carpenter. We reach up to heaven's lathe so all can breathe again.
Oh, wonderfully read, Miriam. Excellent poem, Bartlebach. I was reading his author's notes where he says, conversations, trees are poems that earth writes upon the sky. We fell them down and turn them into paper that we may record our emptiness, by Khalil Gibran. Then he's got another quote here. Poems are clouds, whispers which skim the tree tops to glide the misty vaults of heaven. But he says that it's by himself. And, you know, and I really found this poem is just beautiful. His imagery, you know, I am a tree lover. I'm like Katie. I love to hug trees. I love to touch their bark and look at the shape of their leaves, how, you know, they carbon that is poisonous to us and turn it into oxygen so that we can live, and how ancient they are. You know how old they are. You know, I would like to know. I think, what do they think? What do they feel? Because I do believe everything on earth feels in some way. And I thought that, you know, we should nourish our earth. We cannot live without oxygen. We cannot live without the trees. And we're poisoning the water. You know, and these trees, they have, like he brings out here, 1,000 years, all seasons, drought and winter, how they survive and reach towards the sun in the sky, you know, how their leaves fall and shed on the, you know, the ground and become nourishment for new trees and new plants and fruit trees, everything, grasses. Yet we don't care for them. And, you know, this just, I thought, was just beautifully penned poem by Bartlebach and beautifully read. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
I really enjoyed the passion that he put into his piece. You know, trees are such amazing things. They give us oxygen to breathe. They clean our air. You know, the world would be a sadder place without them. So, I mean, I would, I'd like to hug every tree that I could, quite honestly.
Send me pictures, Greg.
But no, it was a fabulous, great, great read.
Excellent comment, Greg. Thank you so much. And what did you think about the poem, Miriam?
Well, it's just really, really inspiring. There are many different trees that this could apply, different kinds of trees. My first thought was the sequoias in Yosemite, but there are others that also that are also extremely long-lived. And, well, they're long-lived if we don't destroy them. You know, there was a huge tree. It must have been a couple hundred years old across from the development we used to live in. And these people came in wanting to build a new development, and they just chopped it down. And that kind of thing, it just pages me.
It hurts.
I mean, there are good reasons for chopping a tree down. But when it goes down for no observable reason, I get furious. And this poem that gives us so many reasons to love trees, I think that's the way we can combat that. Just let everybody know how useful and beautiful they are.
Great. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Miriam. And what did you think about the poem, Katie? And wonderful read.
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. I mean, you and I both feel the same way. It's a sin to see. I can actually feel the pain when I pass a tree that's, you know, I know just been cut down. There are reasons, of course. I mean, we understand that. There are certain reasons why it would have to be done. You know, if there's you know, something wrong with the tree itself that might pass the fungi onto somebody else or whatever, but still hard to take. And that last stanza, it's so clever. Resilient, we face a furnace of raging bushfire, radiant sun, bloody executioner and carpenter. We reach up to heaven's lathe so all can breathe again. So basically what we're being told here is, we're absolutely rotten to trees. We should leave them alone, but they forgive us, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. I hope the whole idea is beautiful. So thank you, Bardley. Well done.
Thank you, Katie. And we're ready for our next front page pick.
Next we have Highway Hypnotist, can't be right, by K.F. Heartless. And Greg, would you read this for us, please?
Sure, no problem. So we have Highway Hypnosis by K.F. Heartless. The Blue Ridge comes into view, shy on cloudy days, fog and white noise, trucks barreling south on the highway. They think they own 81 and the dreams inspired between billboards, dented railings, and rest stop signs are all on loan from the white-walled phantoms that make tarmac wail. When I pass one, I look into the rear view, salute the turnpike king, the one that came before me, and the one who will ride in my Calvary as I speed toward the place sorrow can't follow. White line fever, hypnosis, the dead zone. On the blue highway, I am never alone. End poem.
Fantastic. Green, Gray. And for some reason, I'm not getting the poem. Okay, it just showed up. Okay, so while I'm reading this, what did you think? You great. What did you think about the poem, Miss Katie, of Miss K.F. Heartless?
Yes, beautifully done. Again, people are so clever here, aren't they? I did like this. Because you know that it can be so easy to get yourself trapped into your mind not concentrating as it should do because you're tired or there's this long white line in front of you going on forever. But I look into the rear view mirror and salute the turnpike king. Oh, excellent. White line fever. It is, yeah, just what I said. White line fever, hypnosis, the dead zone. That's how it can sometimes get you. But on the blue highway, you're never alone. Very happy. Good to know. I'm getting tired. I can tell I'm rambling. So sorry, folks.
No, you know, it was a good comment. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, my dear.
And what did you think about the Pomerium?
Oh, it makes me so homesick. I mean, I live in Alexandria, but we used to go out to the Blue Ridge at least once a year, often twice, and we had a place out there that we stayed. And because of my disabilities, we haven't been able to go out there for a while. So, I mean, the poem is wonderful in itself, but I'm just so overwhelmed with longing to be out there. And I was wondering, is that the same Blue Ridge? Is that our Blue Ridge? And then they think they own 81. Yep, that's ours.
Oh.
Yeah, excellent comment. You know, I find, and I think as poets, we travel, and we, you know, just you know, you just, when you see those mountains and you know, you just get on the highway and you just start driving, you know. And I like, you know, right here where she says they think they own 81 and the dreams and spires between the billboards and dented railways. You know, like when we get in that vehicle, whether it's a motorcycle, whether it's a car, however we're doing it, a bike, you know, and we just realize that everything that everybody tries to control, that they can't control our pen, they can't control our imagination, they cannot control our dreams. You know, that's just something they can't control. And, you know, you just look into that rear view mirror and, you know, just looking straight ahead. And, you know, just, you know, like she says, and the one who will ride in my cavalry as I speed towards the place sorrow can follow, where, you know, sometimes you just don't want to, you just leave it all behind, you know, for that peace. You know, she says the white line fear, hypnosis, the dead zone, you know, just sit there and get on that road. And, where here in New Mexico, and Texas, you know, there's those long stretches of road and those white lines click and they click and they click and they click until they just blur into one line, you know. And I never, you know, she says on the blue highway, I'm never alone. And I don't feel that way. I don't feel alone either. I thought this was powerful. I enjoyed her imagery. And all of us, I just think you could just, like Marion was talking about, I know, you know, Gray would sit there and drive and go to the mountains and these areas in Canada, you know, just ride that road. And I know Katie, you know, in her motorcycle, you just leave everything alone, you know. And she says it's just travel and ghost, you know, just put everything behind. This was just fabulous. An excellent read. Did I get a comment from everybody?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we still have time for one more poem.
Yes. Bring on the Night by K.H. Ventura. And excuse me, I will read this one, because everybody else has been so good. So, Bring on the Night. Nested in empty wicker baskets, yolk-filled folklore etched my veins, barricading a darkness I no longer willed to suppress. Echoes of past lives connect coordinates to numerical cults, a raven den, crimson sacred drippings breathing in dead dandelions. Headless crawlers stalk the corners of my stitched windows. They say looks can kill, the termites have been eating away beyond the walls. End poem.
Oh, wow. She wrote this to a contest for creepy quotes and sayings. You did a fantastic job in reading this. You know, you can just fill your imagination and the darkness that she's, you know, crafted here in her writing, you know, bringing in the night, the things that are in the night. I really liked her, you know, the headless crawlers, not for me, freckles of past lives. I really like that. Coordinate to numerical cults, a Reagan den, crimson sacred dripping, breathing in dead dandelions. Oh, isn't that just fabulous? I really enjoyed this poem. Congratulations on your front page pick. K.H. Ventura, what did you think, Gray?
Well, it made my skin crawl, you know. I mean, it had such fantastic imagery. And you could almost feel those insects digging into your skin.
I'm not a...
but no, it was definitely creepy and crawly. So great job on making my skin crawl.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Miriam?
The line that struck me most as the creepiest was headless crawlers. You don't need anyone. That could have been the whole poem.
I agree. I'm just not a fan of, you know, I just don't like spiders, period. Thank you, Miriam. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, I don't like creepy crawlies either. Blimey. In one of the competitions that was running at one point, I was a spider. I was an evil spider. Like, my bite could kill. Horrible. Hated it. But it was the only thing I could see that was going to be left, if you know what I mean. When I got in to pick up my creature name, I found it was only some horrible, nasty things left. And I got this. I got the creepy crawly. But this is rubbish. This does give you the creepies, doesn't it? What was the one that made... Oh, yeah. I think you've already mentioned it, but it was such a doozy. Headless crawlers stalk the corners of my stitched windows. Good. Very well done. Thank you so much. I won't be able to sleep tonight, but thank you so much.
Well, since that was a brevity, an excellent brevity, we're ready for... We can do another poem.
Oh, of course. Yes. And I have here somewhere. No, I don't, but I'll get it. I've got three windows open. That's what's wrong. Okay, we've got Bring On the Night by K.H. Ventura. We haven't already
We just read that about the spiders.
Whoa, okay, that's why it's coming up again. Okay.
That's what it does to me. I'll copy a different poem and it'll put the one I already put up.
Oh, that was it. I found it. Okay, maybe not. I'll try this one. I'm being adventurous tonight. I'm just going all over the place.
That's all right.
I'm not going all over the place. I just forgot where I was, but sounded like a better idea. Oh, my chat. Here we are. Now, have we had this one? Don't think so. Bliss of Gnats by Guts. No, I don't think we've found this one. And I don't know who to give it to. I'll give it to Gray. Would you like to read this, please?
Did you say me?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. We have Guts, Bliss of Gnats. Were I just a fly with but mere days to live, would not my scrapes of sand be lived in harmony? Wouldn't each day be spent cherishing the moment, toiling for the present, really savoring the dust and sweat and grime? Would not my time on earth be all I had to me? And what difference is there really between days and decades when amid infinity? End poem.
That was a fantastic poem by Guts. I really enjoy this. You know, he was talking about nature, life, spiritual, and hope. I liked his imagery in here. You know, we should live our life to the best that we can, and regardless of our circumstances. And, you know, I just got a big kick out of him saying, were I just a fly, but mere days to live, would not my scraps of sand be lived in harmony? You know, and we can live in harmony, even if we are a gnat. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, sorry. I would just get my fly swatter out there. But probably I shouldn't. Poor old guts, it wouldn't be very nice. Yeah, I thought it was very well done. It made you think of how it must be toiling in the dust and sweat and grime and getting nowhere, because they don't have much of a life, do they? It's here, stay, gone tomorrow, more or less. And I thought the whole fact of making that comment and what difference is there really between days and decades when amid infinity. Yeah, because you don't have to think about time passing. You know, you can, as you say, take each day as it comes and enjoy as much of that day as you possibly can. Be kind to each other, be nice to strangers. And even if that was only for a day, that would be a wonderful life. So, yes, I really enjoyed this. Made me think about a few things, actually. But, yeah, very well done, Gutson, whatever. Lovely name.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Miriam?
I think this is very inspiring. I really don't think it's just about gnats.
No.
It's about, well, especially the last verse, what difference is there really between days and decades when amid infinity? If you just put that in perspective, it makes you realize the value of every moment and the value of every being.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Miriam. And Gary I?
Yeah, you know, that's a wonderful write on the subject of, you know, on living each day to the fullest and appreciating life for what it is, you know, no matter how long it is. So a great write and a fabulous poem to read.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And I want to thank everybody tonight that called in. Thank you so much, Katie, Gray, Miriam, Irish Rose, and for Frank for hanging out with us on the board. Thank you, Phil, for help, you know, all the work that you do for us. And I love you guys. You have a wonderful week. And I love you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Miriam. Good night, Katie. Good night, Gray.
Good night.
Good night, Francisco.
Good night.